Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday morning, a busy Friday, December 3rd, Feast of St. Francis Xavier. Pray for us. Hope you're having a good Friday morning. It's going to be a very, very busy hour, and I think you're going to really look forward to it and get a lot out of it. I hope you do that every single day here at Catholic Connection on EWTN. Our dear friend Doug Keck, who is the President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN, joins us every Friday to discuss the latest in programming and what you don't want to miss. I'm really looking forward to chatting with him about all the great coverage that EWTN and all of our amazing programs and outlets gave to the Supreme Court hearings this week, the great analysis and getting so many diverse opinions on what happened and what it means for the pro-life movement. So looking forward to our discussion with Doug. And then at the bottom of the hour, now normally on Fridays, as you know, we do what's called a Fact Check Friday. Well, this actually does tie in with it, if you think about it, what happened to His Eminence George Cardinal Pell in his native Australia. His third volume of his prison journal has now been released by our friends at Ignatius Press. It's volume 3, The High Court Frees an Innocent Man, and the afterword is by George Weigel. And a big problem in this case, which the way it was handled was so unjust, guess what? The media. What a shocker, right? The media in Australia, very, very involved. And even at one point, later on, all the charges were dropped against him in this alleged abuse case, the media have been forced to pay close to $1 million because of some rules that they violated. But in addition to the money, what else can be done? One of the points that the good cardinal makes is that he believes that his trials, and trials in the legal sense, but trials in general, are meant to serve as maybe a catalyst for change and for awareness, a catalyst for change in the church, a catalyst for change in the legal system, and a catalyst, hopefully, for change in the media, please God. But what's happened so far? And George Weigel makes some incredible points of things that have not happened yet about which he's very concerned. So much to discuss with the good cardinal, and that happens at the bottom of the hour. At about 27 minutes, he'll be joining us and will stay with us for the rest of the program. That's George Cardinal Pell, his prison journal, volume 3, The High Court Frees an Innocent Man, with the afterword by George Weigel. It's published by Ignatius Press, and of course it's available at the EWTN Religious Catalog. So again, a very, very busy morning, and I do want to encourage you to really take some time and to share some of the incredible opinion pieces and analysis articles that are on the different websites, National Catholic Register, Catholic News Agency, and of course the discussions that have been had on EWTN In Depth, the world over with Raymond Arroyo, EWTN News Nightly, Defending Life with Catherine Hadro. There's so many opportunities to really learn more. And I truly believe that we have to really get out there right now, even more so than before, to, as Father John Hardin always said, educate, educate, educate. There are so many points, so many issues, so much information that people are not aware of. They don't know. That's why I was grateful that the arguments were actually broadcast and live streamed and people could listen to them. And if you hear the questions that were raised by Justice Roberts, some of which I found very encouraging about, well, why isn't 15 weeks enough for a woman to decide, right? Or Justice Coney Barrett talking about safe haven laws. Every single state has a safe haven law, meaning that if a woman feels at some point toward the end of her pregnancy that she's not going to be able to care for the child, and she just is too emotionally distraught, there are places she can leave the child without any legal repercussions. But with Planned Parenthood, nope, it's all or nothing. We can't get pregnant. We can't keep the baby. We can't give birth to the baby. All or nothing. And if you think about it, why is that? Well, a big reason is, of course, money. So there's a lot to discuss. But again, this whole point of being able to have an opportunity to really see what was asked, the questions that were raised by the justices and the responses from the various attorneys representing the state of Mississippi and the United States government and Planned Parenthood. All of these great pieces are available to us. I've posted several of them on my Facebook page, but this is an opportunity to educate ourselves and also to share these pieces with other people. And you don't even have to get into a debate with anybody. Just say, okay, well, think about this. Take a look at this. Did you know about the safe haven laws? Did you know that we are one of only seven other nations in the world, up there with China and Korea, isn't that wonderful, that allows for abortion through 9 months of pregnancy? So many people don't even know that one fact. And so there's a lot that happened this week that's very powerful, and EWTN is on the front lines with this, and we'll talk more about that with Doug Keck. So Doug Keck and Cardinal Pell joining us this morning. We have a ton of news to get through, as you can imagine. So let's get to that right now. It is a Friday morning, and you are listening to Catholic Connection, which is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Well, pro-life and pro-abortion advocates both came away from oral arguments in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Wednesday believing the days of adhering to the framework laid out in the 1973 Roe v. Wade case legalizing abortion, well, they're likely to come to an end. At least five out of the nine Supreme Court justices, as National Catholic Register explains, expressing skepticism about the viability standard set forth in Roe and reaffirming in the court's 1992 Casey versus Planned Parenthood decision. There were also, as the Register reports, some tough questions regarding the constitutionality of the right to abortion put forth in Roe and Casey, as well as advances in the past 50 years that do call into question elements of that decision. Several legal experts telling the newspaper that it will likely be that the court will overrule Roe v. Wade. Experts who spoke to the Register saying Brett Kavanaugh, who was seen as a swing vote, made it fairly clear he thinks the Constitution should leave abortion up to the people. Robert George from Princeton adding that Kavanaugh was both showing his hand, trying to do a bit of public education. He was letting the public know if the Supreme Court reverses Roe, it does not mean that abortion would suddenly become illegal. It would mean the decision about what regulations, if any, will be placed on abortion or restrictions or prohibitions would be in the hands of the people acting through their elected representatives. The court was simply getting out of the issue. Meanwhile, pro-life leaders are slamming Joe Biden, who reiterated his support for Roe v. Wade in the wake of the oral arguments. Brian Birch of Catholic Vote telling the Catholic news agency he knows he's wrong, and yet he persists in doubling down on defending the killing of millions of innocent children. In a meeting with Orthodox bishops in Cyprus today, the Holy Father expressing the desire that the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church will continue to journey toward full unity. The live stream meeting, according to the Catholic News Agency, taking place on the second day of the Pope's trip to the Mediterranean island countries of Cyprus and Greece. The meeting with the Orthodox bishops following a private meeting between Francis and the Orthodox bishops of Cyprus at his residence early this morning. The Pope thanking the bishops for their active participation in the International Mixed Commission for a theological dialogue between the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church. He reflected on the example of St. Barnabas, an apostle who came from Cyprus, helping St. Paul to spread the gospel among pagans. In other news this morning, police in Michigan denouncing those who are making false threats after the fatal school shooting in Oxford, north of Detroit. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard saying around 60 different schools shut down because of threats being made that are turning up to be false.
It's overrunning our resources to investigate these false threats, and they fall in a number of buckets, including the circular threats that are not related to anything or have already been investigated but are being posted and posted and posted. And completely false, intentional threats.
Bouchard said posting information about threats on social media is doing more harm than good and asked that people bring information around threats directly to the authorities, adding his department will be placing extra officers for security as the school opens up next week. The community school superintendent in Oxford, Michigan, sharing a 12-minute-long video on the shooting that killed four students at Oxford High School earlier this week.
We have parents that sent their kids to school 2 days ago, and they're never coming home.
The superintendent saying that after meeting with suspected shooter Ethan Crumley and his parents, officials sent the 15-year-old, back to class.
There's been a lot of talk about the student that was apprehended, that he was, you know, called up to the office and all that kind of stuff. No discipline was warranted.
And he says it's going to take some time for the school to get ready for the students to return again. A new Gallup poll finding inflation causing financial hardship for some 45% of U.S. households, including 10% feeling severe hardship. Inflation weighing heaviest on low-income families. 71% of the households with annual income of $40,000 or less are feeling financial hardship, compared to 29% of households making $100,000 or more. 47% of families in the middle with incomes between $40,000 and $99,000 reporting financial hardships due to inflation. One large New York City bank telling its workers to dress down for the office so they don't attract attention and become crime victims on their way to work each day. The New York Post reporting that senior executives at Bank of America have told their younger workers that dressing up for their Bryant Park office tower or wearing clothes with the Bank of America logo could make them a target. New York City, by the way, has seen a 15% spike in attacks over the past 28 days when compared to the same time last year. 14 people have now been arrested in connection with a series of smash-and-grab robberies targeting businesses in the Los Angeles area. The FBI's Christy Johnson speaking at a news conference yesterday.
No one should be afraid to go shopping. This disturbing trend cannot continue.
11 smash-and-grab robberies have happened between November 18th and the 28th, mostly targeting high-end clothing and retail stores. $340,000 worth of merchandise was stolen, and the thieves have caused $40,000 in damages. All 14 people arrested are no longer in custody because of the no-bail policy meant to reduce overcrowding in Los Angeles County jails during the pandemic. And several suspects are still on the loose. And shopping centers in California are increasing the presence of police officers and security guards after a series of those thefts. One shopper says she has noticed at least some difference.
I used to work in this mall, so like compared to like before, and I've worked at it for like years, like there's definitely more. We saw like two officers and like a security guard when we first came in, and then we talked to one when we were leaving.
The most recent incident was in Eastridge Mall in San Jose, California. Police saying four masked people went to the family-owned quick-service jewelry design and smashed display cases with hammers. Trey Thomas tells us a Florida police chief says social unrest is making it hard to find those who want to be police officers.
Orlando Police Chief Orlando Rolone says it's affected his ability to hire more African Americans. Since 2019, the number of people applying to be OPD officers is down almost 20%. Rolone recently told WKMG-TV even family members are telling recruits not to join the profession.
The prosecution resting its case in the Jesse Smollett trial. Two brothers testifying in court this week that former Empire actor told them to stage a phony hate crime against him while pretending to be Trump supporters in a bid to get publicity. After 3 days of testimony, the prosecution resting its case last night. Smollett claims he was attacked in Chicago in January of 2019 by two men yelling racist and anti-gay remarks. Authorities did determine, however, that the actor had paid the men actually to stage the attack for media attention. The actor claiming he was targeted by the men has pleaded not guilty to charges of making false reports. Mark Mayfield tells us former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is now under federal investigation over sexual harassment allegations.
The New York Post reported on Thursday that a legal services contract signed in October states the Justice Department has undertaken an inquiry related to sexual harassment claims made against Cuomo. A spokesman for Cuomo said they were aware of a federal inquiry based on a report by New York Attorney General Letitia James that he called a politically motivated sham. Cuomo resigned in August after James determined that he had sexually harassed 11 women. Cuomo has denied the allegations.
Democratic Senator Joe Manchin saying he will vote against Joe Biden's COVID vaccine mandate for large businesses. A West Virginia lawmaker releasing a statement last night saying he does not support any governor vaccine mandates on private businesses and will strongly support a Republican bill to overturn the federal mandate. Manchin's vote would give Senate Republicans enough support to pass the bill, which still needs to pass a House and would likely be voted on by Joe Biden. The U.S. and Mexico announcing a deal that would reinstate a Trump-era border policy, forcing asylum seekers to remain in Mexico until they get court dates in the U.S. The Biden administration suspending that program, but that decision was overturned by a federal court. The policy affects several U.S. ports of entry from San Diego to Brownsville, Texas. Congress voting to prevent a government shutdown. The bill will fund federal agencies through the middle of February. Lawmakers will now focus on keeping the nation from going into default. The debt ceiling deadline is less than 2 weeks away, when the government could run out of cash and start missing payments. Actor Alec Baldwin giving his first interview since that fatal movie set shooting. During his conversation with ABC News, he was asked about how a live round made its way to the movie set.
That's for a criminal investigation to solve. I have no idea. I have no idea. I take that back. I have some ideas, but that's not for me to say.
The actor said he has nothing to hide, noting he's talking to authorities and still continues to do so, even though he's talked to them numerous times. On October 21st, he was reportedly holding a prop gun that discharged a bullet during filming on the Santa Fe, New Mexico set, the incident leaving cinematographer Helena Hutchins dead and wounding the director, Joel Souza. And finally, in our news segment, at 15 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning, the Feast of St. Francis Xavier, the big three mail delivery services are releasing their deadlines to get your holiday packages, as Julie Carpenter tells us, off in time for Christmas.
UPS, FedEx, and the U.S. Postal Service are all urging customers to mail their cards and gifts sooner rather than later. The Postal Service has a holiday deadline of December 15th for regular mail and December 17th for first-class mail. To ship packages by UPS, you need to have that done by December 21st. FedEx has a December 9th deadline for economy shipping, but also offers same-day services right up until December 24th.
16 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Friday morning, December 3rd. Happy Advent, first week of Advent 2021. As always, we check in with Doug Keck, our Chief Operating Officer and President of the network, so you can jot down all the great programming and not miss a thing. And don't forget, you can always go to our website, which is a wonderful resource, ewtn.com, as well as avemariaradio.net. It's a Friday. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak, and our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Every Friday, we check in with our president and chief operating officer of EWTN, Doug Keck. And Doug, as I was saying, leading into this interview, I've been really just diving into all of the excellent, excellent pieces that have been posted both on the Register and Catholic News Agency and the interviews that have been done on the various shows. It's been really, really helpful for me as someone who has to report on it. And especially when you have someone like a Helen Alvery, and or the summary that I referred to in my news this morning from the Register, with people like Robert George and other experts that are weighing in on this, it's been very, very helpful. And I've been encouraging people to read and read and read, because these are great articles to pass on to folks and to help us all learn more about the life movement.
Absolutely. This is the kind of situation of which EWTN News and the Ave Maria Radio and those outlets and CNA and, of course, the Register and the World Over and EWTN News Nightly and In-Depth, this is why they're there. So mm-hmm. And Pro-Life Weekly,
right,
to basically be able to report what's really going on, especially on the big issues of the day that matter so much to Catholics, to get it straight and understand the perspective of the church and what a Catholic perspective is on a particular issue like that. And it's important as more and more people find those outlets as resources of truth. I think that helps all of us.
I was just really grateful that the hearings were, the arguments were live streamed.
Yep.
And that they were broadcast out to the crowds there, obviously everybody else, but how many people, and I was mentioning this in the first hour of our program this morning, how many people even realize that we allow abortion through 9 months of pregnancy? Justice Roberts'
right.
point that, well, wait a minute, we're only one of seven nations around
Absolutely.
The world that do this, right?
Absolutely. Well, what's crazy, I remember a couple of months back, and I saw somebody else on an article similar, I saw a story, and I mentioned it on Spitzer's show, people think the Mississippi law is so restrictive. It's much more reflective of, quite honestly, what most of the rest of the world does.
Right.
If
mm-hmm.
they have abortion, that's kind of similar to what they have. But our audience and our people have either been led to believe that we are incredibly restrictive and that everybody else is laissez-faire, or mm-hmm. that the laws that we have don't allow for the things they actually allow for. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's one of these things where it says one thing, but it doesn't say you can't do the other. And that's where people miss out. So.
Yeah, and I love the questioning of Justice Barrett about the safe haven laws. How many people
right.
even know safe haven laws exist in every state, right?
Right, absolutely. And I thought Justice Alito was mm-hmm. Was right on the money, and it was great to be able to, like you say, hear that. And again, it goes back to, there are people who are in favor of abortion because they're in favor of abortion because they either think it needs to be there, or there's guilt because of an abortion in the past, or told somebody to have an abortion or whatever, or they bought into this feminist, you can't have a career unless you can decide between a baby and a dollar kind of a thing, in a very black and white way. But from a legal perspective, the legal underpinnings of the whole Roe v. Wade, Casey kind of law is so bad that, from a legal perspective, it just kind of falls apart. And it really just ends up on a Sotomayor kind of, this is all politics kind of thing. And she's mm-hmm. right. She just has it backwards about
right.
how it's politics.
Yeah, exactly. That's why the analysis that you provide in the outlets and the programs are so important. But speaking of programming, it's Advent,
yep.
so lots of good stuff, I'm sure, on the docket.
Absolutely. Well, the Holy Father's in Cyprus and Greece. A couple mm-hmm. events have happened already that people can check out as we encore them tonight. One of them is a meeting with the Holy Synod, live from the Orthodox Cathedral in Nicosia, Cyprus. And so that's an interesting one that'll be re-aired tonight at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Also at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we'll have a replay of the Mass that occurred this morning as well from Nicosia, Cyprus. We've also got a couple of events, meeting with bishops and religious, happening on Saturday. That'll be at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Time. And on Sunday, there'll be a Holy Mass and at a concert hall, the Megaron Concert Hall in Athens, Greece. I'm sure I mispronounced that, but that's on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, we've got St. Francis Xavier's feast day, so we've got a wonderful new program on St. Francis Xavier to the Ends of the Earth, produced by same team who did our Mother Cabrini and Carlo Acutis projects.
Awesome.
So it's somewhere in between there, as far as style-wise, but it's quite good. We've got, obviously, as you indicated, Advent specials. Our Advent reflections continue this Sunday. We got a new show with Father Leo Padalinghug, who's doing a program this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, savoring Advent. And we've also got St. Nicholas Day coming up. So, of course, we have to run that wonderful cartoon on Nicholas the Boy Who Became Santa. If your kids or grandkids haven't seen it, they need to see it. Yeah. And then we also, next week, all next week, My Lord's Faith Journey. And it's new episodes featuring pilgrimage volunteers recall their experiences at Lourdes, a wonderful way to prepare for the Lord's coming. Mm. And EW10.com is a place to find out everything. And don't forget, On Demand, more on-demand programs than anybody else.
Also, next Wednesday, we have the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, so I'm sure there's going to be much to tune in and look forward to on that day as well.
Absolutely.
Correct?
So, yeah. You know, you've got that. You've got Our Lady of Guadalupe coming up. So there's some great Marian feast days, obviously, mm-hmm. here in December people can look forward to. And again, go to EWTN.com, and you can find out everything that's upcoming. And if you miss anything, again, go to our on-demand page, and most of our programs are free, and they're there. And some that are available for a minor charge, either to be rented or purchased now electronically, not only through a DVD, can be done through the Religious Catalog, and the Religious Catalog has its own on-demand site for a small fee.
No, it's what I love about this time of year. I mean, we have such a beautiful liturgical calendar. I know we're in the new year, as my husband preached over the weekend, but it's right. So important to have a deeper understanding of why the church does what she does, and you help us understand that even more deeply. Doug, thanks so much. Look forward to speaking with you again next week. Doug Keck is our Chief Operating Officer and President of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For all the information, if you weren't able to jot it down quickly, it will be on EWTN.com and also our archives. Up next, Cardinal Pell, his Prison Journal, Volume 3. He joins us live.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the Brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
When their teens are struggling with depression, parents often wonder whether medication or therapy is the best way to help their kids heal. A new study published in the medical journal The Lancet sheds some light on this question. In a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind study, the so-called gold standard in medical research, doctors found that psychotherapy alone helped depressed teens and young adults just as much as those receiving counseling and medication combined. The authors of the study suggest that psychotherapy, especially cognitive behavior therapy, which addresses unhealthy thinking patterns, should be the first line of treatment for teens and young adults, with antidepressants being used only as a support to therapy when necessary. The good news is that teen depression responds tremendously well to treatment, but it's important to make sure that your kids get the right kind of help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What is criticism exactly? If you pay close attention, do you notice what most criticism is? Oh, it's not because you're doing something wrong or hurtful, something that needs corrected. Most criticism is, you're not doing it the way I would do it. Or you're not doing it the way I want you to do it. That's what most criticism is. And you have to get good at sorting that out. Otherwise, you're going to get real upset when anyone says anything about what you are doing. Now, of course, you could turn this on yourself. Do you do that? Is most of your criticism a message to someone else that says, you're not doing it the way I would do it? Well, save your criticism for things that are really wrong.
29 minutes past the hour on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. An honor and a blessing for us to spend some time with His Eminence, George Cardinal Pell, on his latest installation of his prison journal. And this is volume number 3 we're going to be talking about this morning, The High Court Frees an Innocent Man, in the afterword by our friend George Weigel. It's published by Ignatius Press, available now. We'll have a link to it on our archive section. Of course, you can always get it at the EWTN Religious Catalog. Your Eminence, thanks for joining us this morning. Happy Advent to you.
And to you, Teresa. I'm delighted to speak with you.
Your Eminence, let's start out by how you're doing and what have you been doing. You obviously just have this new journal out, which is very powerful and really gives us great insight into what you were going through, but how you really use this as an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord. But what have you been doing lately, and what would you like our listeners to know about how you're doing? Because I know everyone is concerned about you and loves you very much.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm very well and very happy. I've been in the States for 3 weeks or so. While I've been here many times over the years, I started off my first northern summer was in 1967, and I worked at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in North Baltimore. But on this occasion, I've gone to parts of the States where I hadn't been, like Utah and Arizona and Tennessee, Wisconsin. I made a special visit. Cardinal Burke is a very good friend of mine. I was keen to see him while I was in the country, and it was good to see just how much he has recovered and how well he was. And then recently I came here from Florida, Palm Beach and Tampa. So I've had a wonderful trip, and obviously I've been talking quite a bit about my book and giving a few talks here and there on the church.
In the latest edition, the Prison Journal, Volume 3, obviously we're focusing on you being freed from jail and the highest court in Australia overturning your conviction. You received so much support from all corners of the world, and my understanding is you received almost 4,000 letters. What did that mean to you? What did the people tell you in those letters?
Oh, it meant an enormous amount to me. An enormous amount was a source of great consolation. I suppose the basic source of strength was the fact that I knew I was innocent. I also believe in a heaven and an afterlife and a hell where things will be balanced out if they go wrong in this life. That, all those religious, basic theological convictions about the fact that you can offer up your suffering for some good cause. But on top of that, it was it's very humbling. And as I've gone around the States, and actually was the same in England and even the same in Italy, you know, people would have kept coming up to me and saying, we prayed for you. I visited the Dominican sisters in Nashville and their beautiful chapel and convent there, and there was the retired sisters attended the Mass, and there was one I could see, she wanted to speak to me, and she said that she prayed the 15 decades of the rosary every day for me during all my time in jail. So I said, well, thank you very much for that. It's a great consolation, very humbling.
We're talking with George Cardinal Pell, his Prison Journal, Volume 3, now released from Ignatius Press, The High Court Frees an Innocent Man. You use this really as an opportunity, a Romans 8:28 situation, to grow in your own relationship with the Lord and to really, as you said, examine the church teaching on this beautiful theology of suffering that we have. But you also say in this book in particular that you're hoping that this could hopefully be a catalyst for some justice. And I know that Our friend George Weigel addresses this in at the end of the book in his afterword. He's very concerned that that really hasn't happened yet. There is one instance with the media where they have been fined close to $1 million for them violating a gag order that was put in place. But there was so much injustice in terms of the courts, in terms of the media. And while, of course, as Christians, we are called to forgive, which you stress, where does the justice come in, Your Eminence? Where do you see this happening? Has there been any movement to really examine what was done to you?
No, not so far. And while the present government remains in the state of Victoria, I wouldn't anticipate that there would be any such move. I did receive some monies from the government for the first trial, which didn't bring in a verdict, but there's been a lot of press discussion, especially about the aberrant judgment of the two senior judges in Victoria in my appeal case. There's been widespread amazement at their decision, where they effectively reversed the onus of proof. But no, I don't expect any more developments in the short term in terms of public justice.
I'm sure that concerns you, though, because if this can be done to you with the excellent reputation that you had in the church, it could be done to anyone. And for a reason, just could it be, as George Weigel was saying in his afterword, that, okay, because the system, the culture, the system, the media, the courts disagree with the church or want to use whomever as a scapegoat, that's very disconcerting and needs to be addressed. So how do we balance that, Your Eminence, in terms of we must forgive and we have to pray for our persecutors, but there also is has to be justice?
Well, we have to try to do both things. But we're well, all of us are well aware that justice does not always reign here in this life. And I think in all the Western democracies, we're all aware that the basic tension is no longer between Christians and Protestants, or even between the great religious traditions in our part of the world. The fundamental tension is between anti-religious secularists mm-hmm. and the Judeo-Christian tradition.
Yeah.
And these secularists have been very effective in dismantling the framework of laws which have sustained Western society for hundreds of years.
Your Eminence, we have to take a break. We'll continue the conversation in 2 minutes. We're talking with His Eminence George Cardinal Pell of Australia. His Prison Journal, Volume 3, now released. The High Court frees an innocent man. We'll be right back.
Miracles are miracles because they're different than regular daily life. A miracle is a reminder that something beyond nature can act within nature. Miracles are meant to open our eyes that more is always going on than just the normal humdrum of the daily life. Miracles are supposed to make us realize that our moral choices are impacting an invisible world that once in a while breaks through into our workaday world. The Blessed Mother predicted the miracle of the sun, and she made it clear that she was using it as proof of the truth of her message. In other words, when the sun stops dancing and you get back to church, to work, to home, remember what's at stake when you pray the rosary.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What is criticism exactly? If you pay close attention, do you notice what most criticism is? Oh, it's not because you're doing something wrong or hurtful, something that needs corrected. Most criticism is, you're not doing it the way I would do it. Or you're not doing it the way I want you to do it. That's what most criticism is. And you have to get good at sorting that out. Otherwise, you're going to get real upset when anyone says anything about what you are doing.
Now, of course, you could turn this on yourself. Do you do that? Is most of your criticism a message to someone else that says, you're not doing it the way I would do it? Well, save your criticism for things that are really wrong.
Beautiful spiritual memoir, the last volume of Cardinal Pell's Prison Journal, just released by our friends at Ignatius Press, Ignatius.com, also available on the EWTN Religious Catalog. And most of us are well aware that this volume, Volume 3, is talking a great deal, obviously, about the great news that Cardinal Pell was freed from jail after the highest court in his homeland, Australia, overturned the conviction for sexual abuse. But as we mentioned earlier, so much support from around the world, including nearly 4,000 letters, and actually how His Eminence really uses as that opportunity to dive more deeply into his own spiritual relationship with the Church and Christ. And I love in this book the way you start out about the liturgical calendar and why the Church does what she does. So you had so much time, Your Eminence, to really think more deeply about the beauty of the Church. And I think this is something that we can all gain from this. I'm wondering, you know, if many years ago I had the opportunity to tour, to do a pilgrimage with Immaculée Ilibagiza, who wrote the powerful book Left to Tell, and she told me privately when we were talking on the pilgrimage bus that there are some times, because she's such a busy speaker now out there, you know, talking about the power of the rosary and the intercession of Our Lady, she says there are days when she actually misses the quietness of the bathroom, even though she was crowded in that bathroom for several months with several other women and could hardly move. The rosary was the tool that she used, and she was able to grow so close to Christ that time there, she realized now, was such a benefit to her. Just your thoughts, and did you experience that as well?
Yes. Just a little anecdote. I'm an admirer of Cardinal Van Thuan, who was imprisoned, I think, by the communists in Vietnam for 14 years. 9 years in solitary, in terrible, terrible conditions. Sometimes perpetual dark for days, sometimes always light interrogations. And at one stage, or perhaps a couple of times, he said he was unable to pray. And I couldn't understand that. I could understand that prayer was hard and dry, but the claim that he wasn't able to pray, I admire him greatly as a man of God. But then I came across another part of his book where he said that when he wasn't able to pray, he said the rosary. Mm. So sometimes we're more open to prayer, we find it easier than at other times. The rosary is a good prayer. For when we're not feeling particularly spiritual or religious. It's easy, it's calming, you've got something to do with your hands and the beads. Another American woman correspondent also made a suggestion which helped me a lot, and that was to hum and pray our favorite hymns, and by humming to sort of help our meditation along. And I found this very helpful, and I found I was a little bit less distracted, and it was a significant aid to prayer. So I think with prayer, you can theorize about it, you can read about it. The only way we learn to pray is by doing it and continuing to do it, whether we're feeling religious or irreligious, spiritually enthusiastic or spiritually dry. We just keep putting one foot after the other, because that's our duty before our great God of love. And, of course, we know that Christ is our brother and that the good God loves us, and we have to respond to that love.
You know, it's one thing, Your Eminence, too, because we all as Christians and as Catholic Christians know that we have to pray for our persecutors and not hold grudges. But you really are doing that. You're moving forward. You're not holding grudges. But it's difficult. I mean, it's easy to say we read the scriptures, we pray, but when it really happens, what helped you not become bitter about this and angry? And because that would be a natural reaction. I mean, what you were put through, incarcerated for 404 days, and you know the legal system basically totally abused, and the media out of control. And I think that's probably, you know, two understatements about what happened to you. But what was it that, obviously we know you have a strong faith, but all of us at some point can get to, even if we're faithful, can say enough is enough, basta. I mean, what, you know, what was really, do you think, the key in you maintaining a peacefulness about you?
Well, I mean, I had to work for it, and my peacefulness waxed and waned. But you make a decision. Mm-hmm. I think it's a clear Christian teaching that we're not supposed to hate, that we are supposed to forgive, and while we mightn't feel like doing those things, we make the decision to do so. And often, once we've made such a firm decision, the feelings, the sentiments follow behind that. But I say regularly that the decision to forgive is a little bit like the decision to believe. We can't say, I believe, and then never pray, never do anything to nourish our faith, and expect to find 5 years later, having done nothing for years, that our faith is as strong as it was. It doesn't work like that. And so with forgiveness, you've got to keep, keep praying and remind yourself of that obligation and to polish up our forgiveness.
We're talking with George Cardinal Pell in his Prison Journal, Volume 3, released from our friends at Ignatius Press, A High Court Frees an Innocent Man, and the afterword is by George Weigel. Have any of those who were involved in your persecution in any way, whether it be the media or in the legal system, has anyone reached out to you, even anonymously?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. There was a story circulating that my complainant said to somebody that, yes, something did happen to him, but it wasn't me. But, effectively, that hasn't happened.
Mm. In terms of these journals, in addition to your own journey that you describe and helping people with prayer, what else do you want Catholics and others around the world to take from your experience and from these spiritual memoirs that you've released?
Well, I hope that it might be a bit of a help to people when they're in trouble of their own. I mean, many people have suffering much worse than mine. You think of the parents of a child who is very ill and suffering and perhaps dying. The unexpected death of a much-loved spouse. There are all sorts of examples. I believe we've got a great teaching from the fact that we believe we are redeemed basically by the suffering and death of Jesus as a prelude to his resurrection. Everybody has a spot of problems, sometimes grave. If we tell them that they can offer up that suffering, it can be united with the sufferings of Christ, and it can be used for good purposes, to any person of faith, this is a consolation. It's a basic difference between us and secularists, mm-hmm. where life is the product of chance and suffering is just another brute fact. It's got no redeeming features except perhaps once in a while to alert us to the fact that we are sick. Many, many people wrote to me saying that they were offering up their sufferings for me. Some people who were dying. young fellow in Australia, 25, who was dying, offered up his death agony for me.
Beautiful.
And that was very consoling.
We're talking with His Eminence George Cardinal Pell on his Prison Journal, Volume Number 3, The High Court Frees an Innocent Man. George Weigel writes at the end of the book in his afterword, raising the question that possible links between the financial corruption in Rome, because of your position in the Vatican when all of this began in the prosecution of you, Your Eminence, that if this does exist, it should be identified not for the sake of retribution, but for the sake of the Church's credibility and its purification. What are your thoughts on what's happening right now? There are some new stories and some developments in terms of issues with the Vatican and finances and whatnot. Are we moving forward, do you think, in getting to the bottom of these issues?
We've traveled a very, very considerable distance. Just how well-placed we are to go further, I don't know. There's a case on in the Vatican which 11 people have been charged. There are all sorts of problems with the procedures. So whether it will go ahead, I don't know. Now, we have no proof about the connection between my Roman struggles and my problems. What we do know is that 2,300,000 was sent from the Vatican Secretariat of State to Australia. We do know that Monsignor Palasca, a Vatican official in his interrogation, said that that money was sent to the Bishops' Conference for my legal expenses. Well, that's certainly not true. We have a statement from the Bishops' Conference that says that they received no money. I certainly received no money. So it would be very useful just to clear the whole deck if it could be explained if the money was sent innocently or for some other purpose. Well, let's know what it was. So there are some important questions there that remain to be answered. And Cardinal Becciu himself has confirmed that the money was sent, but he says it's no business of mine the reasons for which it was sent. So I don't think that's quite good enough.
So what's next for you, do you think, Your Eminence? I mean, obviously you're doing some talks and the new journal is out. What do you hope, would you like to accomplish in the next years? And, you know, you just celebrated your 80th birthday. What are you looking forward to most right now?
Well, I'm 80. I'm in retirement. I've got my daily round of prayer and reading and study. I do a bit of writing, a bit of talking. I suppose as I go along, I've also got to be preparing myself for death. We shouldn't forget that I'm closer to that than I was 40 or 50 years ago. And of course, I'm very interested in the position of the Church in Western society. I'm very interested in the health of the Church, the direction in which things are going. So I try to follow those things closely. I talk to quite a few people. So all in all, I'm happily involved at not too frantic a pace.
Well, you're 80 years young, not 80 years old, and God willing, he'll give you much more time to be out there because we need you speaking the truth in love as you always do. Thank you for the gift of your journals and the gift of your yes to Christ in the Church despite the obstacles you have faced. And if you wouldn't mind, Your Eminence, if you could close us in prayer as we end out this program, and thank you so much for your time and your witness.
Teresa, it's been great to speak with you and your listeners. So why don't we pray as Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And may God be with you all.
Your Eminence, thank you. God bless you. Happy Advent and an early Merry Christmas. George Cardinal Pell, his beautiful Prison Journal, Volume Number 3, The High Court Frees an Innocent Man. The afterword by our friend George Weigel. We'll be right back on a Friday morning. Stay tuned.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Friday morning. Looking forward to wishing you a blessed weekend, the first full weekend, full week of Advent, I should say, coming up on weekend number two on Sunday. We've got Gail Buckley in our Catholic Scripture Verse of the Week. We're working on reaction to a number of developing stories, so we don't have the full rundown yet, but when we do, we will let you know. Thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget, you can find everything you need, EWTN.com or AveMariaRadio.net. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you on a Monday, God willing. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.